Hola.
Hola.
Okay. Well, I was told that this did not have to be an actual testimony. You heard that 10 or 11 years ago, but you want to hear my story. So I put together a story. And let me open by saying, hi, my name is Dave, and I'm a sinner. And the chuckles that I may hear now are from my brothers in Christ, but 25 years ago, if any one of you told me I was a sinner, I would have laughed at you. I wouldn't have believed that. I was born into an Irish Catholic family and raised Roman Catholic. Many of you heard that when I did the talk here on Catholicism and evangelizing to Catholics. Throughout my adolescence, I carried on like most of my contemporaries. But I knew that my sins would be forgiven if I went to confession regularly and kept the sacraments. After completing high school, I joined the Marine Corps and spent just under 5 years on active duty, serving one tour of duty in Vietnam. Those 4+ years presented challenges and responsibilities that allowed me to mature and help prepare me for my continued adulthood. The temptations of sin were more prevalent during these years, but as in my past, I knew that my sins would be forgiven if I confessed them regularly and kept the sacraments. I thank God for carrying me through those many situations, but at that time, I did not know Him as my Lord and my Savior. The camaraderie of the Marine Corps is second to none. The closeness and dependency that we shared was something that many of us seemed to take for granted over the course of our time of service. It wasn't until after my release from active duty that I became aware of the actual friendships that developed, and I've come to appreciate the closeness that has developed with this brotherhood of fellow Marines. Little did I know that a situation that I experienced in Vietnam would lead to my sharing the gospel 47 years later. Semper Fi is so much more than a catchy slogan. It's what Marines live by. Following my release from active duty, I went to work as a jet engine mechanic in the experimental test labs of Pratt & Whitney Aircraft in East Hartford, Connecticut. And I began my secondary education, working nights, go to school days, switching shifts, working days, go to school nights. That continued over the next 10 years. During this time, I got married, became a father of 2 children. I began a career in the special metals nickel alloy industry and worked for several companies and served in various positions within the industry. That carried on, well, to the day. I work for myself right now, but I'm still in the same industry. This career provided the opportunity for me to travel throughout North America, Europe, Asia, and the Middle East. I was divorced after 27 years of marriage. I met my current wife, Sophia, while attending a wedding in Mexico. Little did I know that she would be the one to lead me to Christ. Neither one of us were saved. We maintained a long-distance relationship for the next 3.5 years. We were never more than 18 days apart in that time period. I moved to Michigan, and much of the traveling, business-wise, was significantly reduced. Our relationship ended after 4.5 years. And Sophia was saved, and in her words, we were on different frequencies spiritually. And I refer to 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? She was convinced. She cried. She knew who she was, she knew who he was, and knew I didn't fit in. And that was the changing point in my life. As her next birthday was approaching, I went to a local Christian bookstore in Livonia to buy a gift for her and send it down to Mexico for her. The salesperson asked what church I was attending, and I told him, none. He invited me to attend the next Sunday service at Temple Baptist Church in Plymouth. I accepted the invitation and attended the service, which was followed by their annual picnic. And there I met a number of new people. They were congenial and encouraged me to continue coming to their church. I became exposed to a whole new environment and a whole new culture. From that day forward, I began attending Sunday services at Temple Baptist, later to be named Northridge Church. Uncomfortable at times, I was always sitting in the very last row of the church, as I didn't want to get caught up with the people that were going to be doing the shouting and rolling down the aisles. So I just was playing it safe. The Lord was working in my heart, and I became aware of who I was, a sinner in need of a Savior. I began reading my Bible and attending various classes, growing in my knowledge and understanding of this newly defined position of my life. Having heard the gospel, my heart was softened, and I acknowledged Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and made a profession of faith to my mentoring pastor, and repented, leading to my salvation. Unlike here, you spent time in class being with a facilitator, with a pastor of the church. Questions were asked. You gave your testimony. He asked questions, put it together. And then when you're baptized, there's a public, just an announcement that these people have all met the requirements of acceptance into the church. So having heard the gospel, as my growth continued over the next 2 years, I became involved in men's ministries, study groups, and the church security team. I became engaged to Sophia in September of 1999, and we were married in September 2000. Together, we attended Northridge, and I was baptized in March of 2001. After becoming a member, I asked that we hold off my baptism until we were married and she was here so that she could witness that and be a part of it. So I was baptized in March of 2001. After a few years of attending and serving, we became uneasy with the teaching and preaching, believing that we were, quote, stuck on Christianity 101. In our opinion, there was too much emphasis placed on situational issues and not sufficient evidence of expositional preaching and Bible-centered teachings. One day, Sophia was listening to a talk given by Paul Washer. This is on the internet. And in the credits, it was stated that the talk was given at Berean Baptist Church of Livonia. It piqued her interest, and the following Sunday, she attended the service. I think at that time we only had one service here. Attended service here at Berean and shared her thoughts with me over lunch. Convinced that this was the church that we needed, we began attending and have been here at Berean for more than 10 years. Unlike churches where the attendees are treated as consumers and the dramas are presented to attract attention, the worship, ministries, and activities here at Berean are God-centered. And I refer to 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. And we're right on here. Now, back to my story about a situation that I experienced in Vietnam that would lead to my sharing the gospel 47 years later. I was NCOIC of the refueling operations at the Marine Corps Air Station in Chu Lai. It was in July 1965 when I was removed from my duties due to an injury and temporarily given a less strenuous assignment. I was put on 72 hours of light duty, and that's where I was to stay. I assumed Corporal Lemmy's duties, and he replaced me in the refueling area. That particular assignment was all the planes came in, they had to be refueled, they were being fueled what we call hot. The engines were still running. And the refueling probe came in like the speaker. You put a hose on there, and then any of the drop tanks were filled manually. The objective or the responsibilities were not just to coordinate the fuel load needed for the next sortie. So I was always on the phone with intelligence, finding out what the next mission was going to be, what they needed for armaments, And we would coordinate the planes that were returning from a sortie we'd coordinate that with what was needed for the next sortie that was going out. So 20 minutes later, after I was removed from my assignment and I assumed Corporal Lemmy's duties, and he took over mine in the refueling area, there was an explosion during the refueling of an A4C aircraft. JP-4 jet fuel saturated Corporal Lemmy. That's Corporal Paul, who happens to be a good friend of mine, lives down here in Canton. They were all severely burned and immediately medevaced to the field hospital. I jumped into a Jeep and was transported to the field hospital to be with those men during this painful time. They looked terrible. Their faces looked like marshmallows that you roast over a campfire. Literally, they were large, the size of a pumpkin. They were black. You could hardly see their lips or their eyes. A Catholic priest arrived to give Lemmy, nobody had first names. In Marine Corps, nobody has first names. It's all last names or by rank. But a Catholic priest came in to give Lemmy and the pilot the last rites of the Catholic Church. When he spoke to me, he said that I looked troubled and asked how I was doing. I explained that Corporal Lemmy had just switched duties. And I questioned him. I asked why God would allow this to happen to Angelo, that was his first name, and not to me. I was single with no responsibilities. I was 21 years old. He was 26. He was married with two children. Better that I be the one to die, not him. The priest prayed with me. He told me that much of what God allows may be a mystery to us, but he, God, has plans for each and every one of us, and much time may go by before we know what his plan might be, or his plans might be. I spent the night there in the medevac tent, feeding Angelo and the pilot ice chips, waiting for their evacuation the next day to be evacuated to the burn center in San Antonio, Texas. Now we fast forward to March of 2012. I remain in touch with Angelo and many of my fellow Marines from our time in Vietnam. I still do, Lord willing, and I leave Wednesday for Virginia for a reunion. We're very close. I was contacted by Angelo's daughter, letting me know that her dad was in the hospital. His cancer had resurfaced, spread to his lungs, and he was not given much more time to live. I had been in touch with him, my wife and I, and his family for years, but I jumped forward. After hearing this from his daughter, I took a flight to Yuma, Arizona, and having in mind Luke 24:47, which I wanted to keep in my mind, and that is that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. I wanted to be there to share the gospel with him. I had previously, but I really wanted to be there when he's on his deathbed, so to speak. So I went to Yuma and look forward to spending the next 11 days there visiting with him and sharing the gospel with him daily. He let me know that he understood that he was a sinner in need of a Savior, and that he would repent and believe that by this gospel he was saved. He nodded, he cried, he moaned, but he heard the message and he acknowledged. 47 years ago, I was feeding him shaved ice, and I was now feeding him with food needed for his eternal life. He was placed in hospice care. I returned to Michigan knowing that I would soon be getting a call to attend his funeral. 3 days later, I did receive that call, and I was asked to give the eulogy at his funeral. God was doing his work. I met with George Moore, as I do, along with some other fellows that are here. every Tuesday morning for coffee, breakfast. And 10 years ago, I was meeting with George. And I met with George to discuss his assignment, and he gave me advice that allowed me to present the gospel to all that were in attendance at the funeral, which included Angelo's family, friends, fellow Marines, and 30 Patriot Guard motorcycle riders that were on their bikes and came from Phoenix, Arizona to Yuma, Arizona to support a veteran. It was God's providence that allowed me to be spared from the burns in 1965 and to be there to present the gospel to the one who did suffer extreme pain and lifelong scars. I continue in relationship with many of whom I served, those 54 years ago. But now God has put me in a position to be surrounded by a new group of brothers, my fellow brothers in Christ, and specifically those of you here at Berean. I thank him for the trials he's put before me and the joy that I have experienced by giving him the glory for all that has taken place in my life. That's my story. So. So if any of you have any questions or comments, I'd be happy to. Yes.
So you mentioned, let me back up. So I've Bereaned my church. I got saved in 2003, 2004, and Berean is the only church I've ever attended. So generally speaking, I've never really been exposed to bad teaching or teaching that would leave me hungry for more. I know I'm paraphrasing you mentioned that, Dave. So I'm curious, as you were attending Northridge, how did you know that, how did you know that you wanted to get more of God's word? Like, how did you know you were falling short? Because we have family members that attend churches, and we tell them, hey, you should try Berean, you should try X church. Over here, we think the teaching would be a little bit more reformed or a little bit more encouraging. You know, you need to get off the milk or the Christianity 101, and mature in your growth. So I'm curious, not being maybe exposed to other teachings because your wife had just listened to Paul Washer and was exposed to that Reformed theology through that video. I'm curious, in that journey, how did you know you even needed more?
It's interesting, and I have to give all the credit to my wife. She would be online. I would read the Bible. We were both in Bible study. We were in small groups at that church. No heresies preached there. It's just that they just had, in my opinion, had not advanced far enough in what the word is, as far as sharing the word. But she was constantly online listening to MacArthur, Piper, whomever. And she and I would sit down together and share, listen together, whatever ones that she thought we should listen to together. We would listen to it, and we would talk about it, and we, checked our Bibles, and we made sure that what we were hearing was in line with Scripture. And we knew that there was much stronger, let me say, for better teaching out there in the world. We didn't know where. We weren't searching too greatly. As a matter of fact, what I didn't put in here, but we did about a one and a half year up at Oak Point. Again, still searching. But it was when she happened to hear a talk by Paul Washer, not the one that's when he was here within the last 10 years, because he was here again after, once we became members. But when she heard that one, she saw that Berean Baptist Church was over here off of 8 Mile Road, and we live right up off of Haggerty and 9 Mile. So it was so close to us.
That's awesome.
So that's what brought us here. And it was her diligence, her desire, inspired by God to pursue that. And she got sound doctrine in that which she was listening to. Good information, and would share it with me. And then the more we would go back and get our, as I said, 101, Christianity 101, we just knew that we hungered for more. God put that, you know, that appetite there. So that's how we got here. And yes?
Dave, you mentioned about your friend who you were able to do his eulogy. You guys were friends for quite some time, say 47 years or so. At what point in that friendship did you become a Christian? Had you shared the gospel with him before, prior to his him being on the deathbed, and what was his response?
He died in 2011. Is that what I had? Pretty sure that's what I had. Yeah, I had already become a Christian, been a member here, and I did share the gospel, but I shared it in a different way. Much as like when I talked about it here as evangelizing the Catholics. Angelo is Italian from Pittsburgh. My own son-in-law is Italian. His parents, born in Italy, he was brought up in the Bronx. And, you know, it's hard to get convinced. And I don't have to do it. The gospel is power in and of itself. We know that. But it's hard to get these Italians, even Mexicans, to pay attention and believe that there's any other way other than Catholicism. It takes time. And, of course, I was still new, my infancy and my, you know, being a Christian. So I didn't know, I couldn't approach them with the confidence and knowledge that I possess now. But I was able to share it. But that was pretty much like, as a matter of fact, when I used to share it with my family, as I mentioned before, be arguments, and I would partake in those arguments. But in this case, Angela heard it before. He just didn't buy it. But
he was Catholic, though.
He was Catholic. He was Catholic. But now being able to I had been down there. My wife and I, Sophie and I, had been out there to visit he and his family. His wife died before he did, also of cancer. And she was a career Marine as well. And but she and I would go out to Arizona and we would visit with them. And he heard the gospel from both of us. But I knew he wasn't saved. And then when I, you know, heard that he had cancer before, and we knew that too. But being able to go back out there, knowing that he was, quote, on his deathbed, I wanted to make sure he heard it, and he heard it, and he heard it every day I was there. Every day I was there. And his family heard it too. His family heard it too. So.
A good story for Italian military is Louis Zamperini. That guy that was, you know, taking him out of Japanese, and he became a Christian. He was Italian.
Yeah.
Isn't that what the movie was made after? It's a movie.
Unbroken.
Yeah. I've been meaning to watch that. Not got a chance.
Any other questions? No.
Thank you, Dave.
All right. You're very welcome.